every week on What's on Your Mind. We give you, the listeners of this program, on KFIRE 550 and KCGB 910 and KLTC in Dickinson, KTGO at 1090 Radio in the middle of the boom and Bakken, as well as AM 1100 The Flag, covering eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota down into South Dakota. An opportunity to talk one-on-one with your lone House member in North Dakota. That's Congressman Kevin Cramer. We call it the Talk Radio Town Hall. Congressman Cramer has been gracious to give us an hour every week. Take your calls, your questions, your comments, and it's Wednesday, so it's time for another Talk Radio Town Hall. Here's the telephone number, 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Congressman Cramer, I believe, is in Denver today, where the North Dakota Petroleum Council is gathering. So we'll be checking in with him from Denver today. Look forward to that. He also does a lot of these coffee with Cramer events, town hall events, where he goes all throughout North Dakota. And I see that Senator Heidi Heitkamp, according to the Bismarck Tribune, doing her first, they called it her first town hall meeting since she's been the United States Senator in Bismarck yesterday at Great River Energy. And according to the Bismarck Tribune story, about 90 people out there yesterday. She will hold one tonight in Fargo at Carl Ben Eielson Middle School at 5:15, and tomorrow night in Grand Forks, 5:15 at Schrader Middle School cafeteria. So 5:15 tonight, Fargo, Senator Heitkamp town hall meeting, and everyone welcome. And the event is being billed as a chance to make sure your voices are heard in Washington. So if you'd like on any and all issues to find out where Senator Heitkamp is at, get some answers, good place to be. 5:15 tonight, Carl Ben Eielson Middle School. That's on 13th Avenue South in Fargo. Tomorrow night in Grand Forks at Schrader Middle School cafeteria, 832nd Avenue South in Grand Forks. Okay. No Congressman Cramer yet? All right. We did hear from him earlier.
He's not thinking it's 9:08, is he? Because
yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can.
He's going to call right after the show. Hey, I'm ready. Yeah, well.
Yeah, but no, it's now. It's now. Yeah. So anyway, I think he's probably got North Dakota time down versus.
Hope so.
It would be a little difficult, wouldn't it, if you were you work in part of your week is D.C. That's Eastern time zone, and you got your home time zone, and then you're traveling on the mountain, just keep it all straight day in and day out.
Well, the people that fly back and forth from, East Coast to West Coast and all that, that would get old real quick.
Exactly right. I think I would tend to just stay on my home time.
Let's just put the whole globe on one time zone.
Gotta keep things straight there. Facebook question today, what's a bigger deal? A missing plane or what's happening in Ukraine? Tattoos or Russian aggression? We didn't get into any tattoo talk today. I'm kind of disappointed. I guess if we had, we would be playing into what we are lamenting, that not enough people are paying attention to the dangers facing America. But we didn't put it on the front page of forum newspapers today. We asked the question, do we have our priorities on what is important out of whack? Matt said, distractify, U.S. government's only real skill. Not familiar with that term, distractify, are you? You know that one, Todd?
Can't say I do.
Yeah. Grant suggests that we pass a law, no tattoos above the neckline and below the elbows so these kids don't look so bad. It could take opportunities from them. I guess I'm old school, says Grant. All right, you can weigh in
freedom
on all those.
Freedom of speech, though?
Yeah. Check it out on our Facebook page and weigh in on that big question of the day. Congressman Kevin Cramer, the Talk Radio Town Hall is underway, and he joins us now from Denver, Colorado. Hello, Congressman. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Glad to have you on the program. I know last Wednesday you ended up in a very lengthy committee hearing meeting, so we had to do a version of this on Friday.
Yeah. It was abbreviated even at that on Friday, and of course, we didn't have the main captain at the ship, so we did our best.
And,
that was good.
Now you're in Denver, we understand, for the North Dakota Petroleum Council meeting.
I am. Now, you know, what I think is worth noting, though, is that that hearing I was in last Wednesday that lasted 2.5 hours was with the EPA and the Science Committee, and the whole hearing was all about the greenhouse gas emissions rule, known as the New Source Performance Standards Rule. And as you know, this has been a very, very, very big deal, an important deal for North Dakota's coal industry, our utilities, and most importantly for our for the consumers of low-cost, reliable electricity in North Dakota and around the country.
Did your new friend, the EPA Administrator, Gina McCarthy, testify at that committee hearing?
She did not, but the Undersecretary for Fossil Fuels, I think, or for Clean Air, I'm sorry, for Clean Air did, and it was a two-part hearing, so we had some industry experts and scientists in one panel, and then the second panel was just the Undersecretary, and needless to say, I was not going to miss North Dakota's opportunity to cross-examine all of the witnesses and tell the North Dakota story. So it was a very good hearing, and in the sense that we got a lot of questions asked, and some of them even got answered, but very few to my satisfaction, at least not from the EPA. From some of the others, however, it was very enlightening. People that are experts in the field that simply indicate quite emphatically that the carbon capture technology that the EPA is demanding in the rule in order for new power plants to be built simply does not exist, is not adequately demonstrated, and so consequently, of course, the whole rule is a setup to shut down the coal industry, which has no noble end in my mind.
Did you see any evidence or hear any evidence from any of the EPA officials about the visit of the administrator to North Dakota when she was here, obviously sounding kind of a kinder, gentler tone, and
right,
seemed to be some progress on the issues? Any evidence of that in the hearing?
There was not, however, I raised the issue that she, you know, the fact that she'd been out there. But no, I mean, they are gung-ho going ahead, of course, with rules. You know, the first set of rules that are out there now, of course, relate to new power plants. And then the next set of rules that will come out in June will relate to existing power plants. The one thing we do know, and the administrator said this when she was in North Dakota, and the witness reiterated it, and that is that the next round of rules on existing power plants will not involve or include carbon capture technology, but rather it'll most likely will set some sort of rate at which, you know, that you have to cap carbon. And what it looks like, sounds like, smells like is a cap and trade scheme intended to come in the back door. And so we'll have to be very diligent. We'll continue to monitor it. And I expect, Scott, we'll continue to have hearings in the Science Committee on it because, you know, increasingly people are saying, people that have the technical knowledge are saying, this is not a technology that is ready for commercial use. That's not to say it won't be, and I think someday we will have carbon capture technology that makes sense commercially. And if any place will do it, it'll be North Dakota, because of course carbon in North Dakota, and this is one of the points I pointed out, carbon in North Dakota, along with the pores that you would sequester it into, are considered an asset. North Dakota government, North Dakota people consider carbon an asset. It has value. We sell it in Canada, as you know, after we capture it in the carbon stream in the Dakota gasification facility in Beulah. We sell it in Canada for enhanced oil recovery, so it has value. But it's still in a traditional coal-fired power plant. There's not the technology to capture that carbon in a way that even makes $100 a barrel oil recovery economically sensible. So we'll get there. I believe we'll get there. But what we can't do is, in the meantime, have rules that force us in, frankly, force coal out of business before we can discover the technology. Because what you're really doing with these rules is you're ensuring that new coal plants won't be built with carbon capture technology and will never get to really develop a true clean coal technology like we can if we let the market work.
Yeah, Senator Heitkamp said yesterday that the proposed rule would lock the door on coal with an unachievable standard for the industry.
There you go.
And that it is creating uncertainty in the industry, and we can't keep fighting this fight.
Well, I agree 100% with her, Scott, and here's the thing. So the House of Representatives a couple of weeks ago passed a bill that I'm a co-sponsor of called the Electricity Security and Affordability Act, which does not shut down the rule. It rolls it back until the technology that the EPA is requiring is demonstrated for 12 consecutive months on 6 different power plants, 3 of which need to be lignite, like we have in...
All right, a question for you to answer on the other side of the break. Where is that legislation in the Senate? Then Brian in Grand Forks is first to go at 800-228-0550 when we come back on the Talk Radio Town Hall.
I know what's on your mind, so call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
If you're working in the Stanley area and looking for affordable housing, listen up a moment. Yes, I said affordable housing. I want you to check out the new Frontier Village. It's a development conveniently located on the west side of Stanley, about 2 blocks north of the new Holiday Station on Highway 2. Now, if you have families, you're going to love this location because it is walking distance to the elementary and high school and, of course, groceries, amenities, all around, walking distance. With over 30 models of manufactured homes, it has never been easier to get a new home to meet your needs and your budget. Even though they have about 60 new lots, the best ones are going to sell quick, so why wait? Pick yours out today. Your new home will be ready to move into this spring if you start now. Call 701-628-2418. 701-628-2418. Affordable housing, walking distance to schools and groceries, and it's affordable. Call 701-628-2418 for Frontier Village today.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
If it's time for a Hurricane Force truck wash, but you hate wasting the time, then the North Dakota Truck Wash is for you. The North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley wants you to know there's no waiting time between 6 and 10, a.m. or p.m. If those times work for you, you'll enjoy no wait times and a free engine wash at North Dakota's best truck wash, the Bakken's best, Hurricane Force, the North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley. Again, no waiting time between 6 and 10 a.m. or 6 and 10 p.m. at the North Dakota Truck Wash, Stanley.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
This is What's on Your Mind with Todd Mitchell. I'm Scott Hennon. Our guest today, Congressman Kevin Cramer, the Wednesday Talk Radio Town Hall. Your chance to ask your questions if you're a member of Congress here, the lone member of the United States House. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. You mentioned a piece of legislation that deals with that particular issue, specifically on the regulations that would basically lock the door on coal, to use Senator Heitkamp's language, and deal with it specifically in the House. Where is that at in the Senate?
So it's quite an interesting legislative maneuver, really, because it's a bill that is bicameral. Not very many bills are introduced in both chambers, and this bill is introduced in this identical form, both in the House and the Senate. It was introduced in the House by by Ed Whitfield, the ranking member of the Republican chairman of the Energy Subcommittee of ENC, and then it was introduced in the Senate by Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia. So Republican majority in the House, Democrat majority in the Senate, you would think it would have a good shot at least having a hearing and getting to the floor. However, and by the way, Senator Hoeven is also a co-sponsor of that bill in the Senate. So it's really important that, you know, in an election year like this, that, you know, that those that support coal and support coal electricity and support clean coal, frankly, advancements, convince Harry Reid, the majority leader, to bring this bill up for a vote. So, you know, I'm confident every Republican would support it. We know Joe Manchin, obviously a lead Democrat, supports it. I don't know who else is involved, but I would think that Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, who's, you know, is behind in the polls in her reelection, and the new chairman of the Energy Committee in the Senate would have a strong interest in bringing this up. So that's encouraging. We just need, you know, we need pro-energy, pro-coal, you know, senators, especially Democrat senators, to convince the majority leader to bring it up on the floor. And I suspect we could pass it if we could have a vote on it.
John in Grand Forks wants to talk carbon. Go ahead for Congressman Kevin Cramer. John, you're next on What's on Your Mind in the Talk Radio Town Hall.
Oh, my favorite North Dakota state representative.
and your carbon, least favorite, too.
No. Hey, carbon. I mean, mm-hmm. What's all the confusion about it? These people are worried about carbon, and this is just, you don't have to answer. I'm just going to do a dumb statement. we're all going to die sometime. And 100 years later or more, maybe 200-400 years later, our body is excavated. Guess what is left?
Yeah.
Carbon. You know, they better start worrying about that, you know. They're going to pollute the ground. That's the fifth largest element in the world, you know.
Yes.
I know, that's stupid, but anyway.
Well, but you raise an important point that the idea, you know, whether or not you buy into the climate change theories, the idea that man-made carbon, or specifically, you know, coal-generated carbon, is the reason for global warming or climate change or whatever they call it today, it's hard to take seriously when you put it in the context of the fact that we breathe out carbon. Every human being, you know, breathes out carbon, and there's a lot of natural sources of carbon, and there are also a lot of natural anecdotes to carbon, things like you know, plants, for example, and trees.
Anyway, so my theory is I believe in man-made carbon once we dug up about 300-400 years from now.
Well, that's true. That would be man-made carbon. And it's got, you know, the interesting thing, and it gets back to this point that I made last week in the hearing, that in North Dakota, carbon is considered an asset. It's value added. And I long for the day. I can hardly wait for the day when some genius, probably over at the Energy and Environmental Research Center in Grand Forks, invents that technology that we can put on a power plant and easily and economically capture carbon and then use it to put into the ground to enhance our oil recovery. And so we can build more coal-fired power plants, have more coal mines, more great jobs to go with it, and on top of that, actually get more oil out of the ground as well, enhancing our economy and our energy security. That's a noble goal. What the EPA wants to do, of course, is shut all that down by having impossible standards that cannot be met, and that will just shut down the business industry, and we'll never know. We'll never get to that technological advancement.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Brian in Grand Forks for Congressman Kevin Cramer on the Talk Radio Town Hall, 800-228-0550 with your questions. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Hey, called a couple weeks ago about what you might know, Congressman, about the FAA changing their hiring requirements for air traffic control. And, of course, the impact it has on those students that have invested time and money at places like UND.
Yes. Yep. And we have made an inquiry over to the FAA. I'm not sure if we've got anything back or not. I'm not in Washington today, but maybe by the end of the show we'll find out if the FAA has gotten back to us, Brian. But we did make an inquiry right away because obviously we didn't want the UND to continue to do a great job of educating people only to find out that the standards have been changed. And I have a hunch that if there have been any standard changes, that we would know about it. I can tell you that the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee does have a GAO request. GAO, Scott, is Government Accounting Office. Request in regarding their hiring process as well as it relates to collegiate training initiatives and the colleges and universities. So we've actually taken this to a pretty high level by having the General Accounting Office start digging into this, because as Brian raises this question, obviously this is a major concern if there's something, some disconnect between reality and education or a federal agency and the institutions of education, which by the way wouldn't shock probably anybody, but when it gets to the level of a GAO request, that means there could actually become an audit could actually come of it. So we're on it. We don't have a lot of specific answers yet, but the letter was issued February 25th of this year. So we appreciate Brian's bringing it to our attention, and we'll stay on top of it. We'll let you know as it comes, as we get some answers.
And just to make it clear, these guys that are asking about this, that have gone through the training that is certified by the FAA, they're not feeling like, hey, you should have hired me right now. They're being told you're not even qualified to be considered. So when they inquired with the HR people at FAA, they just said, well, you're not qualified. And they said, well, how can I better my position next time? Well, we can't tell you that. Well, what's it based on? Well, it's based on a biographical assessment. Yeah. Okay, can I know how I scored on that? No. So it's all this big secret, which kind of comes along with what they're doing with the Freedom of Information Act here, too.
Yeah. No, that's right, Brian. And that's why to have the TIA, or have the TNI, I'm sorry, the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, and their chairman is a good friend of mine, Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania, to have them ask for GAO audit or at least inquiry. For example, there are 36 FAA-approved, they're called collegiate training initiatives or colleges and universities that offer the courses.
Hold that thought, Congressman Kramer. We'll finish on the other side of the break. Brian, thanks for the call. Karen Grand Forks, you're next.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Warmer weather and snow melting means one thing. It's time for the Max Spring Sale. Find great deals like a 2-inch by 27-foot tie-down for only $10.99. Save $100 on a DeWalt 18-volt cordless drill combo kit. Great 5 volts, only $1.99 per pound. $3.99 for a 40-pound bag of softener salt. Rope, cable, tools, they're all on sale now during Max Spring Sale. It's not just another hardware store. It's Max.
Please pay attention, folks. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is a Christian, veteran-owned wholesale preparedness company. Our mission is to get the Word of God out to all those in need of a Bible and who cannot afford one. We also provide great-tasting freeze-dried food from only 50 cents per serving, GMO-free food, over 1,000 preparedness items.
Plus, for a limited time, type in the word Genesis at checkout and receive 10% off your total purchase. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's the Talk Radio Town Hall today on What's On Your Mind. We do it every Wednesday with Congressman Kevin Cramer taking your calls, questions, and comments. You can email those in, studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. You can just pick up the phone and call 800-228-0550. And by the way, when you call, some folks like to leave a message off the air. You can just press 1, leave your message, question, whatever, and we'll get you an answer and play that if you don't have time to stay on hold and ask your question directly of Congressman Cramer. That number again, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Anything you want to finish on the FAA stuff for the previous caller before we go to Karen?
Question
Congressman Cramer?
A couple of weeks ago. So when he raised the question about air traffic control education at our colleges, and does that actually help you at the FAA? And we're hearing that it evidently doesn't. And so with that as a premise, the letter that was sent to the government accounting office or general accounting office asks basically 5 questions. Did the FAA include stakeholders in the development of their new policy? Is the FAA's new process cost-effective? There's a good one for you. Will the FAA's new process have an impact on CTI programs, as well as the skill education level, you know, and retention of controllers? Will the FAA's new process improve safety? And ultimately, the main question, I think, is what impact did the FAA's decision to restart the hiring process have on applicants that were on the waiting list, and did the agency do anything to address potential impacts? And that gets to the heart of Brian's point and Brian's question. So we'll stay on it, Brian. Right now it's in the hands of the General Accounting Office.
All right, let's go to Karen Grand Forks. Question for Congressman Kevin Cramer. You're next. Karen, go ahead.
Hi, Congressman Cramer. I hope you're well today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you. I am.
I have a question for you, but I want to preface it by saying that when I look at our country and our recent history, all I see around us is corruption. We have a government that lies to us on a very regular basis, that takes executive actions not given to it, that encourages civil rights abuses, it experiments on and it abuses many of the children in its foster care system, it bails out the banks instead of the people, it sends its troops on more tours during war than any time in our history, it's killed over 1 million people claiming to look for weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist, it's created and trained Al-Qaeda, the most feared terror group on the planet today, and it steals from our citizens through income taxes, even though since it was never ratified, it's not legal, and everything you collected has only gone to pay interest to the private Federal Reserve. I could go on for a while, but based on all of that, since we currently do still have freedom of religion, why should I or anyone follow the law when it has been set by such a corrupt government? And by obeying it, it would be like me looking in the face of my God and saying this government has more power over me than the entity I believe created me.
Well, there's a lot there, obviously, Karen, and I would agree with a good many of the things that you've said, and you said a lot of them very quickly, and maybe if I took enough time to look at them all, look at the list you obviously have in front of you, I would find agreement on all of them. I don't know, but a couple of things to sort of get to the answer to your specific questions. Why should you follow the law? I think you probably know why you should, because of course the consequences of not following the law are not only great in terms of, you know, the obvious consequences that the government could impose on people that knowingly violate laws of various types. But more importantly than that, it has an impact on your personal witness, which I think seems to be very important to you. And so while we might disagree with certain laws, or we might disagree with the implementation of them, or we might even think that they're illegal implementations of the laws, our personal witness requires a higher standard of us, obviously, as people of faith. I want to get to a specific point, though, that you're raising with regards to the execution of laws and the enforcement of laws. Two things. We passed two bills last week in the House of Representatives that get to the heart of the executive breaches of law, especially that have been escalated so much lately under this current president and the current administration. We passed the Faithful Execution of the Law Act, and we passed the Executive Needs to Faithfully Observe and Respect Congressional Enactments of the Law, otherwise known as the Enforce the Law Act of 2014. Both of them meant to rein in the executive overreach, what we believe to be unconstitutional overreach of this current president. Now, I want you to know, Scott, and the listeners, I don't know who Karen is. I maybe know her, but I don't know who she is right now, and we didn't set this up. These are two bills that we passed last week. The first, Faithful Execution of the Law Act, amends federal law to require the Attorney General of the United States to report to Congress any time a federal official establishes or implements any type of a formal or informal policy to refrain from enforcing any provisions of federal law. And the reason that wording is so important is because one of the ways that this president, and frankly past presidents, although not to the degree of this president has, one of the ways that they get around laws is by selectively enforcing them. So in other words, it's not an executive order that says I'm going to change this law. What it is, it's a policy memo or some sort of, you know, implementation that says to law enforcement or regulatory agencies, look, let's look the other way on some of these things, and we'll enforce these things over here that we like. We're not going to enforce these things we don't like. And so we're saying is that if you make any decision to not enforce a law, you have to report to Congress. The other one, the Enforce Act, is far more, appropriate, really. It establishes a procedure for either the House or the Senate. And Scott, this issue's come up a lot on this show. But either body, not both necessarily, but either one can authorize a lawsuit against the executive branch for failing to faithfully execute the laws, which the Constitution requires the executive branch to faithfully execute the laws. We believe this president hasn't been, and yet it's very difficult. You've gotten a lot of calls from people saying, why don't we sue the president? Why doesn't Congress sue the president? Well, we don't sue the president largely because we don't have standing to sue the president. The separation of powers created it that way. Well, this is something that needs to be fixed. And so we're just saying that we need to allow the Senate or the House to adopt a resolution that would authorize a civil action if the president or any other federal officer establishes or implements policies to refrain from enforcing the law. So on the one hand, we're saying that you have to report to us if you're going to refrain from enforcing the law. On the other hand, we're saying you can't do it. And if you do, we're going to sue you if we feel like you're in violation of the intent of a law. And Scott, we're having it happen just now. Last week, as you know, the USDA, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, but last week I sent a letter. 2 weeks ago, the USDA put out their rules surrounding WIC, enforcing the Women, Infant, and Children program, which is a welfare program to help women, infant, and children that are needy to buy food. And they put out their rules once again, banning white potatoes from the list. Fresh white potatoes cannot be purchased with WIC dollars. Now, the first time I heard that from North Dakota potato farmers, I thought they were kidding. So I looked into it. Sure enough, since Michelle Obama became the first lady, she doesn't like potatoes. She said you can't buy potatoes with WIC dollars. So we clarified in the farm bill that was just signed into law in February by the president, this current president, no, potatoes do in fact meet the nutritional standards of WIC. They do. As a matter of fact, as a matter of science, they meet the nutritional requirements. So you must allow white potatoes to be purchased with WIC dollars, and yet they turn around a couple of weeks later and put out a rule that says that they can't be. So that's a classic example of it. Another one that recently was relates to the intercontinental ballistic missiles. I put an amendment in the House, Senator Hoeven in the Senate, in the appropriations bill for the defense that says you cannot use defense appropriations dollars to do environmental impact studies on the in the process of or in preparation for removal of ICBM missiles. The president signed it into law. It is the law of the land. Within weeks, the Department of Defense began the process of EIS or environmental impact studies on missile silos. Now, we wrote a stinging letter right after that, and they've since backed away. Hopefully, USDA will do the same thing. But if necessary, these new laws, if they would become laws, these new bills that we passed in the House would allow us to file civil action against against the executive branch if they don't meet the letter and spirit of the laws that we pass.
Karen, thanks for the call. Eric and Minot, you're next for Congressman Kramer at 800-228-0550. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question on in regards to flood insurance. I know,
yes.
I think you guys passed it. Did the president sign that? Did that make it to his desk?
I don't know if he signed it yet. It has made it to his desk. This was an interesting one, Eric, and this is really important to Minot. So, as we know, a couple of years ago, there was a bill called Biggert Waters, which was intended to help bring the flood insurance program more into, actuarial soundness. Because, as you know, it's upside down in a big way, like a lot of federal programs. And, in fact, I think the debt on it is like $24 billion that the flood insurance program owes. And, because it's a heavily subsidized insurance program. So the result, however, unintended as it was that in recent months, people's premiums in places like Minot, Fargo, Bismarck, that are in floodplains, went up like as much as 1,000% or more. So you go from $300 a year premium to $3,000 a year premium, plus a lot of other things that relate to basements and whatnot. The Senate passed a bill several weeks ago that put a four-month delay on the implementation of Biggert Waters and rolled back the rates. The four-month delay, the result of that, according to the Congressional Budget Office, would have been while there was four-year delay in that, the debt would be another $2 billion, and it would so seriously jeopardize the program that the FEMA may not be able to even pay out, or the flood insurance program may not even be able to pay out claims. Well, we don't want that. So the House passed a different bill that begins the process of studying while allowing some financial stability to be brought into the program. So we put a cap on premium increases. Oh, first of all, rolled back to pre-Biggert Waters, so you go back to reasonable rates, and put a cap of 18% annual increases. And that's a cap. That's the high end. Most likely, the average would be much lower than that. Allows, by the way, we passed what the Fargo Forum calls the Hoeven Heitkamp Kramer basement amendment, so that if you have floodproof basements, that you are exempt from the remapping and whatnot that has caused some of these spikes in the premiums, and also there's a $25 per home for your first home, $25 surcharge, and what that does is that helps spread the costs out to everybody in the program, as opposed to hitting real hard people that are in certain areas like a Fargo or a Minot. And in the meantime, we still continue to study it. FEMA will continue to study it, and we're putting it on more solid ground, and then hopefully eventually get to a more reasonable actuarial.
Eric, thanks so much. Take a break. Come back with more after this.
You talk. We listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
Did you know there are as many as 143 different species of weeds that stubbornly refuse to succumb to herbicides growing in the United States? The North Dakota Soybean Council considers herbicide-resistant weeds a major problem that requires immediate attention. Soybean producers can no longer rely on one input or one mode of action to effectively treat these weeds. It is important to arm yourself with more weapons to apply against weeds, such as crop rotation, residual herbicides, and multiple herbicide modes of action. action. These tools can help you manage herbicide-resistant weeds growing in fields already and prevent the development of new herbicide-resistant species. We also encourage you to develop more diverse weed management plans to keep these weeds from spreading further. For more information to prevent herbicide-resistant weeds from spreading, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Remember when animal activists started impacting farmers and ranchers who raise animals for food in our great state? There was one organization, the North Dakota Farm Bureau, that decided to do something about it. Farm Bureau stood up for our state's farmers and ranchers by initiating a constitutional amendment to safeguard modern farming and ranching practices. The result? North Dakota became the first state to constitutionally protect agriculture practices. And the measure passed with nearly 70% approval from North Dakota voters. It didn't go unnoticed in other states either. Many are now forging ahead with similar plans. Agriculture is an important industry to our state, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is the voice for agriculture in North Dakota. Farm Bureau is also the voice for limited government, self-reliance, and economic progress that made this country great. Learn more about all the Farm Bureau has to offer at their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your North Dakota Farm Bureau. Find out more at ndfb.org.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Final segment of the Talk Radio Town Hall with Congressman Kevin Cramer. There's a call that came in during the break.
Hey, Kevin, this is Ron in Bismarck, and I'll read a little article here and just want your reaction. It was put out last week. It says, Texas Governor Rick Perry revealed a disturbing threat coming from the White House directed at several governors, Republican and Democrat alike. I was a bit troubled today by the tone of the president. He began speaking at the Republican Governors Association February 24th. Perry was describing a meeting at the White House earlier that day between several governors and President Obama. When you have governors and we all compete against each other, we are the laboratories of innovation. And for the President of the United States to look Democrat and Republican governors in the eye and say, I don't trust you to make decisions in your state about issues of education, about transportation infrastructure, and that is really troubling, Rick Perry said. Perry expressed his own fears regarding Environmental Protection Agency restrictions cutting off America's energy production and a possible reduction in this state's National Guard. As a matter of fact, Obama said at that meeting, he said, if I hear any of you pushing back, making statements about Washington spends too much money. You'll hear from me, he said, adding, I'm highly offended by that. And then this email site says, watch Perry's chilling revelation below. But what is your reaction to the president saying that? Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Well, this, I have not seen that that story. Somehow it seems, you know, if what Governor Perry is saying are actual quotes of, from the president, knowing how frankly arrogant this president can be, and how obviously he believes in a very strong centralized federal government as opposed to a 50 sovereign states. It wouldn't surprise me that he feels that way, but it would, even at that, it surprises me he would say it that bluntly and that blatantly. But perhaps, I mean, you know, who knows? We have a president who's right now at a very, very low point in public opinion polls, and maybe he's decided to flex rather than become humble. I don't know.
By the way, Joe called earlier about Highway 85 being at a standstill because of an accident and icy conditions there. North of Grassy Butte, south of Watford City. Evidently, traffic is starting to move there again, so we did get an update there. Talk about this legislation known as the Doc Fix that had to do with Medicare reimbursements. That
sure.
passed, right?
It did. We passed it last week. It really, the Doc Fix is one of those things that comes up a lot, and probably because we're always in a situation where we're trying to patch it, and that's often the fix is a patch rather than a permanent Doc Fix, and it relates to what's called SGR, that's the sustainable growth rate, which is the formula that was passed a number of years ago into law for reimbursement for doctors who serve patients that are under under Medicare. And so what we do, rather than having a three-month fix, which is what we're in right now, by the way, Scott, the current fix, the patch, ends at the end of this month. You have to find a pay for or an offset to pay for it so that doctors can be reimbursed properly for Medicare services. The formula was so messed up when it was passed into law that if it was allowed to expire, doctors would receive a 24% cut in reimbursement for seen Medicare patients. Obviously, that wouldn't fly. What you'd have are no doctors taking care of Medicare patients. And so our bill finally, once and for all, repeals the current formula and then it replaces it with a permanent solution to address physician payments. What it does is it maintains a 0.5% increase through the remainder of this year, 2014, and then continues reimbursements at a rate, at the same rate from 2015 to 2018. So we're not talking about massive inflation here either, you know, 0.5%. But then beginning in 2019, the payment levels would remain at the current levels through 2023. So again, these are not real big increases, but it allows at least a little bit of inflationary increase so that physicians can continue to serve as Medicare patients. Now, it pays for it. It costs about $150 billion. So, over the time of the program. So it pays for it by some amendments to the Affordable Health Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. And so we'll see whether that can whether that'll be taken up by the Senate or not. But Senator Reid often talks about the need for a fix, and we passed one.
One last quick call here, Greg and Bismarck, about a half minute for you. Greg, your question for Congressman Kramer.
Yes, I was wondering, in Idaho, they're thinking about putting in a bill to nullify the EPA of Idaho, and I was wondering, what do you think of that? Why wouldn't it work in North Dakota?
Well, if I understood him right, and I couldn't hear him real clearly, but Idaho is considering, I assume, a banning of the EPA or something like that. Could it work in North Dakota? It could work in North Dakota better than anywhere else in the world because we have environmental protection regulators at the state level, at the state health department, at the public service commission, the industrial commission, who are as good or better than anybody in Washington or Omaha or Denver or wherever the federal offices might be. And it's evidenced by our clean air, our clean land, and our clean water. And while sometimes accidents happen and things happen. Nobody loves our air, water, and land more than we do, and so it could work very well, except for the fact that, you know, there are some things that enter into multi-states, stream or rivers. They're obviously interstate and international, or interstate especially in nature. Air, of course, is. The problem is that the EPA has so overreached into areas that are not their jurisdiction, and water is one of the biggest ones where they
overreach.
Water.
We are out of time, unfortunately. Congressman Kramer, have a great day in Denver at the North Dakota Petroleum Council event. And folks, we'll see you tomorrow.
When you're traveling the roads, you always need a good night's rest. For a clean, comfortable, affordable room, Expressway Inn and Suites is simply the best. On business or vacation, quick trip or a special occasion, Expressway Inn and Suites is here for you.
Expressway Inn and Suites of Bismarck. Visit expressway hotels.com.
USS North Dakota will be commissioned May 31st. Seize the most modern attack submarine in the world. I'm Bob Weefeld on behalf of USS North Dakota. Join me and many others across our great state in making history. Your tax-deductible contribution of $100 up to $5,000 assures she will have an historic and memorable commissioning as she joins the fleet. Your contribution includes your name in USS North Dakota's commissioning book. Making history begins at our website, ussnd.com. Donate today at ussnd.com and be a part of history. Thank you.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.